You ever noticed how uncomfortable we are with silence? You've been in an elevator where there's no music, and it was fine when you were by yourself and somebody came in and you suddenly forgot how to be a human. You're right? You had no idea, should I say something? Should I not say something? Should I offer to press the button for them? Then I have to ask them a question. Do I have to look up and then see their reflection in the ceiling that happens to be a mirror for God knows why? You know what I'm saying? Like, I need something. There's a buffer. That music is a nice little buffer. Or you remember, maybe it was a conversation, maybe it was a first date, or maybe it was a second date, or maybe you're hanging out with some new friends and you had some questions lined up. And the reason you had some questions lined up is because you wanted to avoid any kind of awkward silence, because the silence is just awkward. And maybe you were on that date and those seven questions went way too quick. And you're panicking in between every bite, trying to think of something else to say because you don't want that awkward silence. In fact, we're so uncomfortable with silence. Some of us can't even sleep in it. Think about that for a moment. That's crazy that we can't sleep when it is too quiet, which is why many of us need one of these to sleep. Sound machine, right? And maybe it's not a sound machine. Maybe the fan is going, or maybe it's like an air purifier or a humidifier, or maybe it's like my essential oil diffuser. Okay, and it makes enough sound for you to sleep. If you have young kids, I mean, this is a lifesaver. Okay, all my kids, every room where there's a child, we have one of these. And I know science is like they're not good. Well, I don't care about science. I care about my kids sleeping. But not only just for our kids, but for many of you, I mean, just by a show of hands, anybody sleep with a sound machine, okay, or some version of something that makes sound? And you can't sleep without it. I mean, it's just uncomfortable and it just kind of feels crazy. There's this calming, relaxing nature from the low hum of a sound machine, the white noise. They have brown noise and pink noise and all sorts of, but whatever, the white noise is, that low hum is calming and relaxing. But not only that, the constant hum, the white noise also serves another function. It masks other voices and noises, right? For the sake of illustration, let me just make an obvious point, that the white noise, it doesn't make the house or the room any quieter. It just makes everything else more difficult to hear. And while that is beneficial when we're trying to sleep or when our kids are trying to sleep, here's what you know about your life, because I certainly know it's true about mine. We tend to live life with a version of white noise that is always going. We tend to live our lives with just this constant hum, the white noise of life that is non-stop. And that constant hum and that white noise, it might look like or sound like busyness and a full calendar and always having something to do, always having somewhere to go. That white noise might sound like productivity, the pressure to produce, a deadline coming up at work, text messages from a client, or an email from a boss even after 5 o'clock. That white noise of life might sound like endless notifications that are always dinging your phone from every single app that you've got. That white noise might sound like social media you're scrolling through, podcasts that are always playing in the car, video games you're playing, or Netflix that's always playing in the background. The white noise of life might sound like news cycles that are endless, headlines that grab your attention, headlines that stress you out. That white noise might sound like that out of control group text that's got your phone always buzzing and always vibrating. And even after you mute it, you come back to a red bubble that says 105 and you're stressed out again. That white noise might sound like the demands of others. It might sound like the voice of a toddler. It might sound like a boss that holds you to standards. It might sound like email and calendar invites going. And the problem is that is just life. And for many of us, we're totally unaware of the constant hum and white noise of life. But just like a sound machine and how it functions on your nightstand, the white noise of life will mask any other sound or voice in your lives. And what it will do without us even realizing it, it'll keep us from being able to be aware of what is happening emotionally. It'll keep us from being able to give our attention to those we are distracted from, and it will ultimately begin to keep us from being able to hear from God. And until we get into an environment where we can turn it all off. You like that? We will have an inability to deal with what's really going on in our hearts, to navigate through the things that we're carrying, will consistently be distracted from those that need us to most, and we will have an inability or a lack of space or mental or heart capacity to hear from God. Which is why Jesus, throughout the Gospels, made it a habit to make sure he was getting away from the white noise of life. And it is that habit that we are unpacking in the series we kicked off last week called Into the Woods. And that habit that Jesus exhibits throughout the Gospels is a habit of withdrawing and retreating. Withdrawing and retreating from all the demands, withdrawing and retreating from all the pressure, withdrawing and retreating from all that he had to do, all of his work, all the miracles. And where he would withdraw and retreat to in the Gospels is this Greek word. It's called the Greek word is eremos. And in the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, in first century classical and Christian literature, that word eremos has a different meanings, but the idea is it can be translated a solitary place, a quiet place, or as I've kind of taken a metaphorical spin on it, the woods, getting into the woods, that Jesus would get away into the woods, into the wilderness to be alone with his Father. And last week, when we kicked off the series just by way of review, we looked at the life of Jesus and we saw that for Jesus, getting into the eremos, getting into the woods, it was not random, it was rhythmic. That Jesus built getting away into the eremos into the rhythm of his life. And we also saw that Jesus's relationship with the eremos, it was not circumstantial, it was consistent. That for many of us, if we're just honest, and I certainly put myself in this category in different seasons, that we get so busy, we have so much going on, that we will just reserve getting away into the quiet place to be alone with God in moments of crisis. It's circumstantial, kind of a last resort. But Jesus shows us he did it consistently. And certainly there were moments of crisis and difficulty when he needed the most, but it was already built in. And so last week when we kicked off the series, we just asked the question, what is your relationship with the eremos? And does it need to change? And the reason why that's such an important question is because the eremos, the quiet place, the solitary place, the woods, getting away, that's where you and I can cut through the white noise of life and begin to experience communion with God. It's where we experience the renewal of our souls, and it's where you and I find clarity to live faithfully with whatever lies ahead. So the question that I want to answer today is this: how do we get into the woods practically? What does it look like practically to get alone with God? No matter where you are on the spectrum of faith, whether you've been following Jesus for quite some time, whether you are new to faith, or maybe you're still on the outside peering in, but you're curious and exploring, what does it look like, no matter where you are on the spectrum of faith, to get into the woods and get something out of it? There's certainly common objections, which I can certainly relate to, right? I mean, for some of you, maybe it's a, hey, this sounds really appealing. Honestly, that white noise you played, okay, I'm convinced. I need this in my life. I need to get away from the white noise. But maybe it's, I don't know how. Glad you're here. Maybe you're thinking, I've tried this before and it didn't really work. Totally get it. Glad you're here. Maybe it's, I don't have time. Totally get that. Really glad you're here. And maybe for some of you, if you're being honest, you've been following Jesus for quite some time, your thought is, man, my time with God isn't what it used to be. No matter where you are, no matter what your objection is, I'm glad you're listening in or watching, because the three practices that I'm gonna unpack for us today, I believe can shape and or help reshape what it looks like to withdraw and retreat and to be alone with God. And I really think if we are to practice these three things, it will be an absolute game changer for your heart, for your soul, for your mind, and for your faith, no matter who you are or where you are on your faith journey. Now, admittedly, these three practices, they're not going to be earth-shattering. In fact, I bet you, if I'm just being totally honest, I bet you if I told you to go ahead and try to guess what the three practices are, you could get at least 2 out of 3. But here's what I've learned the longer I've followed Jesus, is that I can always grow and kind of elevate different areas of my faith and different practices. And I'm confident that no matter who you are, myself included, there might be a way for you and I to take a next step in any of these practices. And isn't it so true? We're so good at complexity and overcomplicating things. And sometimes the thing that we need the most, especially relates to faith, is to get back to the basics. And that's what we're going to do today as we unpack what it looks like practically to get into the woods, okay? Practice number one, silence and solitude. Now, of the three that I'm going to talk about, by the way, this might be the most unnatural because of the world that we live in, because of the white noise that is always going, and because of the age of technology that we are in. But silence and solitude, this is a 2-for-1 situation. This is a buy one, get one. This is a you pick to a Panera, okay? You get two practices in one, silence and solitude, and they work together beautifully. Silence, literally turning off the noise. Silence. No music. Phone on do not disturb. No sound machine. Turn off the air purifier. I promise you'll be fine for a few moments. And no talking. Silence. And then solitude. Getting away from other humans. Getting to a place where you are by yourself. For some of you, that means waking up before other humans so you can practice this safely and legally. silence and solitude. Getting to a place of quiet where you can be alone and still before God. That's what this is. Getting to a place of quiet where you can be still and alone before God. Making yourself available. This is where we tell God with our posture and with our silence, you have my full attention. And this is actually what God asks us to do. You've probably, especially if you've grown up in church, you've heard this before. Psalm 46:10. This is God telling us, I want you to get into silence and solitude. He says, I want you to be still, and I want you to know that I am God. Be still. Stop striving. Let go. Release. Just be. And know. Take a moment to trust. Take a moment to remind your soul. Rest in my promises and remind your heart that God is God and we are not. That God is God and we don't have to be. That God is God and he is near. To be still and to not be anything to anybody else for a few moments, and for it to be just you, God, no white noise of life masking what's really going on so that you're left with nothing but you, God, and all that is swirling around in your mind and in your heart. To be still, to close your eyes, and to breathe in and out. No talking. The more you and I practice not talking, the better listeners we become. And for many of us, we are so quick to fill silence, even in moments with God, with our own words, we've lost the ability to listen, not only interpersonally, but also in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've lost the ability to listen and discern God's leading because we talk too much. And these moments, when you first try it or first start, of the three, this is the one that I've most recently added to my life over the past couple of years. There are gonna be moments where it might be uncomfortable because you've got nothing to mask anything you're carrying or feeling, and you're suddenly confronted with what you're really feeling. You're confronted with the weight you're actually carrying. You're confronted with the insecurity that you've been experiencing. You're confronted with the fear that has been driving you and you weren't even aware of it because of all the white noise of life. And suddenly there's nothing to mask any of that because you've created space to listen and to feel. Not doing, not proving, not accomplishing, not being for others, but allowing your stillness to be a posture that says, okay, God, here I am, all of me, and I'm going to confront all that I've got going on in here, and I've got nothing that I can do other than know that you are God and try to trust you. For me, I do this for 5 minutes. I try to do this for 5 minutes every morning. Some mornings that I miss, but 5 minutes. I'll set a timer on my phone. I've had to turn the actual alarm off because after 5 minutes, it scares me. But 5 minutes, I sit in the same spot on my couch every morning and I do this for 5 minutes. I sit, I breathe, I try to quiet my mind before God. Here's what you're gonna find. Turning off the external noise in these moments is the easiest part. The hard part is trying to turn down the internal noise. The ricochet thoughts, the fears, the everything you've got to do today, the stress you feel and your day hasn't even gotten started yet or what you've got coming up tomorrow. Trying to calm the inner thoughts and I just try to still my soul as best as I can and remind myself that you are God, to rest in who he is. And I just breathe. Sometimes I'll box breathe. Breathe in for 5 seconds, hold for 5 seconds, breathe out for 5 seconds, hold for 5 seconds, and I'll do that until my timer goes off. And sometimes it is the most peaceful part of my day that changes how I live my day. And I'm getting ahead of myself because this is where we're going next week. But I'm telling you, moments when I do this, I am a radically different human when my kids wake up and when I see my wife for the first time and when I head into the office and on mornings that I don't. But sometimes it's not very peaceful, it's exposing because I'm forced to face feelings and thoughts and emotions that I've just kind of been putting away or that have been masked by the white noise. But over time, I'm telling you, it is so healing and necessary for your mind and for your soul to experience silence and solitude. So here's what I want my challenge. This week, give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Anyone, you can do anything for 5 minutes. Find the place, find the time, find the moment. 5 minutes to be still. And to remind yourself that he is God. Number two, practice number two, meditate on scripture. Meditate on scripture. Now, I was very particular with the word meditate. I didn't want to do just the word read. Here's why. Meditation means to slow down a little bit. Meditation is more intentional, and meditation is more thoughtful. Meditation is a mulling a thought over and over and over again until it sinks in. Meditation is quality over quantity. And as I was processing the idea of meditating on scripture, I wanted to share something that I've kind of been walking through and changing the way that I engage with the scriptures. I don't know about you, but I have often felt the pressure of when I sit down to read my Bible, I've got to get through a whole chapter. You ever felt this? I've got to sit down. You know what? I don't have time to get through a whole chapter, so I'm just not gonna do it today. Or you're getting through a chapter, you hear somebody stirring, I got to get through this quick. For whatever reason, I feel the need to get through a chapter. Some of these chapters are long. And here's a little secret. There's nothing inspired or special about the chapters and verses. We just made them up. They're not in the Greek. If you looked at a Greek manuscript, it is all Greek words, no spaces. They didn't write with spaces. It's just a block of Greek letters. There's no verses, there's no numbers, there's no chapters, there's none of that. We put all that in, but for whatever reason, I'd always felt the need. I gotta read a whole chapter. And I kind of made a realization. Right now in my devotional time, I'm spending the next several months in the Gospels. I felt this desire to want to just to saturate my mind and my heart in the Gospels. And as I read a chapter of the Gospels, man, those are 3 years, right? Condensed into just 15 to 20 some chapters, depending on which Gospel you're reading. You read one chapter, Jesus does like 4 miracles, gets in 3 arguments and have seven mic drop moments. My heart can't process all that in the 15 minutes it takes me to read it. And I kind of had this realization, I'm reading about the disciples experiencing all this with Jesus. They experienced these one moment at a time. They had space in between to process it, and they talk about it with Jesus. And here I am trying to wrap my brain around all this in one sitting. So I've changed the way that I engage with the scriptures. I don't do a chapter at a time. There's no need to do that. I started reading one Jesus story at a time. It could be 10 verses, it could be four. I do one Jesus story at a time. If I'm in a New Testament letter, I'll do one passage at a time as it's broken up. And I sit in it, and I reread it, and I meditate on it. I look for key words and key verbs. I'll ask myself, how does this Jesus story change the way that I should live today? I ask of this Jesus story, what does this reaffirm about what I think about God, or what is it teaching me about who God is? What does this one Jesus story do for my relationships and for my faith? And I'll sit in that Jesus story. I might come back to it the next day. And I fought the pressure just to read it for quantity, but rather sit in it for quality. And here's what I've noticed. When I do that, I am way more likely to carry that with me throughout the day. I'm way more likely to think about it again. And I'm way more likely to have it pop up in my brain in a moment where I need it the most that changes the way that I respond in that moment. Because here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to get through the scriptures. It's not helpful. God's not keeping a scorecard. There's no like, oh man, you're behind. There's no quota. You want to get the scriptures through you. That's the goal. You want to meditate. You want to go slow. You want to ask questions of it. You want to process it with others in community and ask questions about it in community for if you're trying to figure out what it means and how it might apply to your life. You just want to get through it. No, it's a waste of your time. You want to get it through you. So slow down. Do one Jesus story at a time. Pressure's off. And if you need to, come back to it the next day. Meditate on scripture. Then practice number three, prayer. Now, while silence and solitude might be the most unnatural one for us because of the world that we live in, prayer might be the most awkward, maybe even the most intimidating. Prayer, I mean, it's talking to God. It's being honest with God. It's expressing our gratitude towards God. But prayer's a tough one. I mean, it's kind of, for many of us, it's an awkward thing to do alone, let alone pray in a group. We probably all have a moment where we prayed in a group and we thought, oh gosh, this is not going well. You don't even know what you said. You started to get sweaty. You got cotton mouth and you could not say amen fast enough. And you never talked about it again with whoever that was there. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, I'm not praying out loud anymore. Praying out loud by yourself. Like I don't even know if I'm doing this right. How do I pray? If you ever felt awkward? Or can we just be honest for just a second? This is an honest place, okay? Maybe it's just me, but I could tell you moments where I was praying and somehow, without even realizing it, I ended up on my phone. Anybody else? Oh, really? That's what we're going to act today? We're just going to act like I'm the only one? And you're like, and I realize, I mean, I feel terrible. I'm like, Lord, I am so sorry. I couldn't even get to amen before I pulled up Instagram. I mean, how embarrassing. We're just so wired for distraction. We've been there. So how can you get better at prayer? Because I'm just telling you, all of us, myself included, I don't care how long you've been following Jesus, we can all get better at prayer. Okay. One of the best things that I've read about prayer is by a guy named Richard Foster, who wrote a whole book about spiritual disciplines. And he talks about practicing prayer in this way. He calls it simple prayer. Simple prayer. Simple prayer, as he writes about it, is where you forget all the trying to say the right words. You don't worry about religious jargon. You just pray whatever is in your heart. You lay before God whatever you're carrying that day. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it, and I've shared this quote many times, but it's so impactful. C.S. Lewis said, pray what is in you, not what ought to be in you. That's simple prayer. Come on, you ever tried to impress God as if he doesn't already know? You know, if you have enough faith to pray to God, you probably believe he knows what you're thinking. Just be real. What is in your heart? If there is something you're stressed about, let them know. If there's something you're afraid about, let them know. If there's something you are especially grateful for, let them know. Instead of us trying to impress God, you remember that movie Meet the Parents? And Greg is praying. He has no idea what he's doing. He's trying to do an impressive prayer. I mean, drop the Meet the Parents prayers. All you students, go YouTube that later. In fact, for some of you, you've been following Jesus for quite some time. It's so easy for us to fall into this, like we're just trying to, you know, impress God or use big words and, you know, I mean, there's a way to, no. For some of us, the best thing that we can do, I'll say for all of us, we just need to get back to simple prayer, to the simple things. I'm gonna let God into what's going on in here. You're unsure how to pray? Start there. And another really helpful tidbit about prayer, do you know that you can pray the scriptures? This is awesome. You can pray the scriptures. And you pick a psalm. There's various New Testament. In fact, I thought we could practice right now. Psalm 23. This is a very famous psalm. Okay, you've heard this. And you can literally, this is how it would show up if you have an NIV translation. You can literally just change the words, change the pronouns and the words so that it can be like a first person prayer. There's no copyright. God won't get mad, okay, about you changing the words on this one. And literally, I'm just gonna do it right now, okay? You read Psalm 23, like, I don't know how to pray. You could pray this, turn this into a prayer. You, Lord, are my shepherd, and I lack nothing. You make me lie down in green pastures, and you lead me beside quiet waters. You refresh my soul. God, would you guide me along the right paths for your name's sake? And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's a powerful prayer. That took all of 20 seconds. Pray that over and over again. You're unsure what to pray? Find a psalm that meets you where you are and turn it into a prayer to God. And honestly, most of the psalms are prayable. It's actually most of the songs and praises and hymns and prayers. And here's others. You can, Psalm 23 is one. I'm not going to go through all these, but if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Psalm 46, incredible psalm to pray. Psalm 145, beautiful movements throughout that you can turn into a prayer to God. Psalm 62 and Psalm 51. Again, we're not going to go through all these, but flip through some of the psalms. These are great ones to go to. And you go to the New Testament, same thing. You can pray New Testament scriptures to God. The most obvious one in Matthew 6, that's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus literally said, this is how you pray. It's like right there, man. It's like the answers in the back of the math book. I mean, he's like, it's right there. This is how you pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. If you've ever thought like, it's not deep enough. It's mechanical. Does God even hear? Jesus told us this is how. And you can use it as a formula and add some things here and there, but pray the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful thing. Ephesians 3, it's a prayer that Paul writes where he asks God to do immeasurably more in the lives of the Ephesian church. Man, go pray that prayer, verses 16 to 20. It is a beautiful prayer that you can pray to God. And then if you're feeling moments of stress or anxiety, you can pray Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Pray that as a prayer to God. Change the pronouns of the words to make it a prayer. You can pray through scripture. It is a beautiful, beautiful exercise. And I'm telling you, as you do this too, it'll make the scriptures that can sometimes feel so distant become a lot more personal. And it is not any less spiritual. It's not a cheat code. I mean, it's kind of a cheat code, but it's not cheating. And it will turn the ear of God. He will hear you. It doesn't make you any less of anything. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So the three practices, kind of in review. Silence and solitude. This is us sitting in the presence of God. Meditate on scripture. This is us letting God speak, letting his truth, the words of Jesus and the writers of the scriptures that have been documents that have preserved for us for centuries, letting God speak to our hearts and into our lives with these beautiful ancient scriptures preserved for us. And then prayer. Prayer is responding honestly. Let him know what's going on. What are you afraid of? What are you feeling? What are you requesting of him? What are you grateful for? And connect with your heavenly Father. And I know I taught these separately, you know, as three different things, but they all work together. At times, me doing them in different orders and they all look a little bit differently. This is a beautiful thing to experiment with. Like for me, usually I'll start with 5 minutes of silence and solitude, and then I'll go into reading a Jesus story, and then I'll pray. Maybe sometimes I'll go to a Jesus story and then I'll do silence and solitude and kind of reflect on the Jesus story and settle my mind for God. Then I'll pray. Sometimes I'll do 10 minutes of silence and solitude and end with prayer. My point is there's no formula here. There's no right way to do it. There are different things that you and I can begin to try. Do them in any combination. They all work together. There's no formula. Because you know, healthy relationships aren't about a formula. They're about intentionality. And this is so important for us to get. Getting into the woods, it's not just spiritual busy work. Don't miss the heart. It's about making space for relationship. You know this. Your best relationships and your most important relationships, they suffer without intentional time. If you've got kids, right, young kids, how do they spell love? T-I-M-E. That's how they spell love. Not some big grand gestures, but time and attention. Your relationships, your marriage. Me and my wife, okay, I've mentioned amazing. We got four young kids, and somewhere along the way, date night kind of dropped out, right? We have an excuse to just kind of throw date. Man, we don't have enough time. We do small group every week, so we've already got a babysitter once a week. We don't have time to do date night. And honestly, as we were reevaluating 2025, we started noticing it started to affect our marriage, and little fights turned into big fights, and we'd bicker, and we were missing some of that intentional time. So we're like, 2026 needs to be different. And so, hey, what can we do? What can we do? What's realistic? We can go on a date night once a month. That's realistic. And so the beginning of January, we planned out the next, you know, 4 or 5 months and tried to line up babysitters. We've done two, and y'all, it's amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, we actually like each other. It's just time. It's intention. You look forward to it. You know that it's happening. There's no formula, but you carve out space for it. This is our relationship with your Heavenly Father that desires to connect with you. Intention, relationship. Now, it's not a formula, but having a plan is helpful. So, real quick, just kind of as we wrap up, four questions. Four questions to help you develop a plan to be intentional with your time in the woods, okay? Question number one, when? When do you meet with God? When are you gonna get into the woods? For me, it is the morning. And honestly, I feel like I could make a solid argument that the morning is the best time for everybody before you enter into a day. However, everybody's different. Some of y'all are like, trust me, God does not even want to talk to me in the morning, okay? That's okay. Or you're getting to work so early, it's like, you have no time to do anything, okay? But when? Maybe it's the last few minutes before you're winding down to go to bed. Or maybe you get to the office a little bit early, or maybe it's those few moments in the car once it's parked after carpool, whatever it is. But just when? There's no pressure here. When are you going to meet with God? When are you going to get into the woods? And then where do you go? Literally. Like for me, man, I've got the same, I sit in the same right corner cushion of our couch in the right corner. I bought this cool little table that attaches to my armrest. I got a flat surface for my coffee and my Bible. I'm in the same spot, same blanket every morning. That's my spot. Where's your spot? Maybe it's in your house. Maybe it's not in your house. Maybe wherever it is. Maybe it's that, you know, your desk before the day gets crazy at office. But where are you going to go? Be specific and go to the same place. What do you do there? What are you gonna do there? I'm gonna try 3 minutes of silence and solitude. Well, no, Samer said five. Okay, I can do two more minutes. I'll do 5 minutes of silence and solitude. I'm gonna pick a plan from the YouVersion Bible app. They've got so many reading plans. Or maybe I'm gonna read a Jesus story, whatever it is. But decide what you're gonna do there. And then decide how long is realistic. Be realistic. Like, don't feel like I've gotta like, man, I don't have an hour or so. Guess what? Man, I don't have an hour either. At best, man, I got 30 minutes before my kids come rumbling down the stairs. What's realistic? And start there, because here's what you're gonna find, okay? Here's what you're gonna find. I wanna encourage you. Consistency trumps intensity. This is so important. 5, 10, 15 minutes, and eventually that might grow as you do it more and practice it more, but I'm telling you, 5, 10, 15 minutes of consistency every day, that will shape more than what you imagine to be 1 hour emotionally a month. Consistency trumps intensity, because transformation is cumulative. And getting into the woods is less about how long you're there and how often you come back. So take the pressure off. You don't need an hour every day. You got 10 minutes? Give God those 10 minutes. And I'm telling you, as you start to make this a rhythm and a habit, what will feel like discipline, I'm just telling you, it'll start to turn to delight, and you're gonna start to figure out ways to turn that 10 into 15 and that 15 into 20. And soon, you're not gonna recognize a morning or an evening or whenever you do this without this time. It's a rhythm. And you miss a day, that's fine. Just don't miss two. Don't miss three. Consistency trumps intensity. Because God wants to meet you. So take the pressure off and start where you can with what you can. Now there's a, close with this quote. John Mark Comer, pastor, author, wrote this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's one of the best books I've read literally ever. No, I'm not kidding. It's incredible. It's one of the books I come back to almost every year. It's on my reread list. Cannot encourage enough. He has a whole chapter on, you know, getting away with God and silence and solitude. And the end of his chapter, he has this quote. He says it better than I could have said it. It is so real. It is so authentic. And I hope it encourages you and takes the pressure off. He writes this. He says, here's to tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. That's his time. Coffee, the chair by the window by the tree. That's where he goes. Time to breathe, a psalm and a story from the Gospels. That's his plan. Hearing the Father's voice, pouring out my own. Or just sitting, resting. Maybe I'll hear a word from God that will alter my destiny. Maybe I'll just process my anger over something that's bothering me. Maybe I'll feel my mind settle like untouched water. I love this next part. This is so real. Or maybe my mind will ricochet from thought to thought and never come to rest. If so, that's fine. I'll be back. Same time tomorrow. Starting my day in the quiet place. Consistency. Pressure's off. There's no pressure or formula in your most intimate relationships. There's no difference with your heavenly Father. What does it look like to consistently get to the quiet place? It is an amazing thing that the God of the universe invites us in. He's close and he wants to connect with you. And as this gets built consistently into your life, the way you live, the days ahead, and the way in which you follow, it's never the same. And that's where we're gonna pick up next week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing that you wanna meet with us. And God, as we seek to cut through the white noise that masks the things we've gotta deal with, the burdens that we're carrying, and keeps us from who we should be attentive to, God, would you put a burden on our hearts to figure out what this looks like? Would you burden our hearts with how necessary it is, no matter where we are in the spectrum of faith, exploring, seasoned, new, to figure out how to be more consistent and intentional in the quiet place, in the woods, in the Eremos, as we seek to connect with you. What an amazing idea that you seek to know us. I pray, Lord, as we figure out how to carve out that time, start to figure out what that time looks like, would you meet us where we are? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you begin to slowly shape us and grow us to look more like Jesus as we consistently get away to be with you? We love you. We're grateful. It's in Jesus we pray all of these things. Amen.